Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael Steve Lobb running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here with Sin City Steve and Rob Ossolari on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, episode number 1,000.
And 1,000? Yeah. I don't remember doing this 1,000 times.
It sure seems and feels like you have done it.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's it feels like you've been around for 2,000 episodes, Rob.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost as if you're about a year older than Mel Brooks. That's how it feels right now.
Oh, wow. That's a great compliment.
Damn.
Yeah, no. A year older than Mel Brooks. Not as talented as.
Just oh.
Like 100 years old there, buddy.
Oh, well, you know. You could suck on these space balls.
Oh, you're just nuts.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a long night.
Yep. No shit.
Nah, if you look in the mirror, it's going to be very short. Tiny. All right. 2026. That's where we are now, aren't we?
It's here.
Apparently. Month's okay. Already halfway over, by the way.
Yeah, no shit, right?
What the fuck,
dude. By the way, I was at the fireworks at the Strat, and now it's 2 weeks later already. I'm like, I don't know how that's fast.
That's the way it goes, man.
It's fucking insane. All right. So with that being said, let's do some predictions for this year. You know, just random shit for what will happen this year. Okay, so let's start with who will be the breakout star in AEW this coming year? Steve, you know AEW fairly well. You know that there are a number of people who are on that level of, you know, either being like push for a second, and then push down, and then up and down and up and down. You've got some people who are very familiar with the catering truck. And you've got some people who Tony Khan probably looks at and says, "Hey, can you clean up the garbage cans there, sir? Thank you." You know, I mean, there's a lot of people back there, but there's gotta be someone who's going to break out this year, right?
You know, speaking of up and down repeatedly, my breakout star for AEW is going to be Megan Bain. I think she's going to have a huge year in 2026. Realistically speaking, as I look over the women's roster, okay, so you've got Chris Statlander with your Women's World Championship. Who can you put in there with her? Because they've been touting her power and, you know, how she just towers over the division and all this other stuff. Megan Bain is honestly makes the most sense to take that title off of Chris Statlander. Do it fucking all in. Why not?
Sure. Rob, who's going to break out in AEW?
Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley needs to come and screw over MJF. It's going to be a build. They've kept him under wraps for a few weeks now. He shows up and just runs away with it. No, none of this flip-flopping, you know, Vince Russo crap a la last year WCW. Just a good solid year with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, that's you know, an interesting
that's one of Matt's favorites.
Yeah, interesting idea to see Bobby Lashley finally break out, because God forbid.
No, but I'm saying with AEW, because he hasn't done anything in AEW. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't tell MVP that, because he'll tell you totally differently.
And
Bobby Lashley is the breakout star of every generation.
One thing for, you know, for those that might be new viewers or listeners, Matt has an affinity for Bobby Lashley. And by that, I mean, he can't fucking stand the guy. So.
Pretty much, you know, he's just, he is as boring as watching paint dry. And that's why he's
got MVP. Cause when he had all the belts at TNA, it was just like, just give up the belt, dude. We don't care. And he just gave up the belt.
Same thing in WWE. He's never caught my attention. I think breaking out wise in AEW, you know, I want to see Orange Cassidy finally get the championship. You know, okay. The thing is with him is he's not gone up. He's not gone down. It's literally just been the same kind of positioning. Yeah. And Orange, in terms of a person, is one of the good guys. He's just a cool dude. And, you know, give him something to do before his contract's up, and before he turns, you know, to an age in which he's only got a couple years left. You know, it'd just be great to see him, hit that. Oh, John, look at that. Look at that. Thank you for the congratulations there. John being part of the show as well for throughout the years. Thank you, of course, absolutely, brother.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. So, you know, NXT just had a bunch of call-ups this week, including vacating the title, Obafemi, you know, who becomes the breakout star and face of NXT now that we just saw a lot of people go away. Rob.
Do we still have Ethan Page on that roster?
Yes, we do.
Let Ethan Page run away with it. Let him have a solid year and have people chase him again. He does well under the light. I don't like him as a chasing, a person chasing for the belt. He needs to hold it and hold on to it for a while.
Agree. I agree. That's my pick too. I think Ethan is, just amazing at what he's been doing, and hope he doesn't get called up. You know, that's the other thing. He could be on the verge of getting called up too, because
his time.
Okay. Yeah. Steve, what do you got for NXT?
So I think we're actually starting to see it right now. I think the face of NXT, at least that women's division, is going to be Kendall Gray. She is. Dude, for the amount of time that she has in the business and what she has already shown is unreal. And this is coming from somebody who's not a consistent regular viewer of NXT. I think they've got a gold mine with Kendall Gray. And yeah, I could see her being the face by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's very true. It's hard with Ethan. It's hard with Sol Ruka. I think those two are on their way up at some point. So will they be the face? Same with Starks. I think Starks is probably on his way up. You know, I think those three go up by the end of the year. So I think, you know, kind of
where do you send them is my question. Which branch? I would put a lot of them in SmackDown. Because Raw seems kind of saturated.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like SmackDown. It looks like Oga's going to SmackDown because that's where they threw that promo the other night. So, I think SmackDown is, where it goes most likely. Wow, look at that.
Nice. Very cool. The El Juggalo says, been hearing there's a few matches that got announced for the collective. PWU Hybrids Midnight Express got Gangrel versus Matt Tremont, and WWE ID's Marcus Mathers versus the NWA's Kerry Morton. Yeah, so they're already building those Mania shows, man. Hell yeah.
Yep. Marty, shout out to Marty. 1,000th episode. Congratulations. Thank you, Marty, of course.
What's up, Marty? And,
speaking thank of Marty, here's hell a throwback yes. to oh, June shit. Of 2019 at Bumps and Ooh. Bruises right, out wow. there in LA. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's taking it way back.
And look at that. Daryl's able to sit on a chair.
That's awesome.
Oh, poor. That's just ridiculous.
And they're back this year. I don't know what the hell he's going to do. It's going to be like Vlad the Impaler once he's done paying for these tickets.
Right. Jackson up, Drake, Steve? Eli Knight got a call up to NXT to fill the holes. Yep.
Hell definitely yeah.
Uber talented. Eli Knight, friend of the show, going back yeah. With the guys. So, yep. Yeah, a lot of good stuff there. Okay. Breakout star in WWE this year, Steve.
For me, I've got Javon Evans. I think that realistically with – it was always a joke, him being in NXT. Obviously, they gave him opportunities, but they would always seemingly have him lose in those opportunities. Right. Yet they clearly see what they have in Javon Evans because they're bumping him up to the main roster, clearly. Yep. So it's going to be one of those things where I think that – we've seen different booking strategies from NXT to main roster WWE. I think this might actually be one of those that works in his favor as opposed to something that's been the opposite that we've seen in the past. So sure. I hope for all the best for Javon Evans. Dude is immensely talented.
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorites. Rob.
Say his name, man. He appears. There's the temptation to use him for entertainment value is too great. They've already put him on SmackDown once for Christmas, just for a quick segment against The Miz. You got to go with Joe Hendry. He'll make main roster this year. They've already put through Jordan Grace, and she's already starting to feud with Jade Cargill. So yeah, they'll do it. They'll pull the trigger on him early.
Yeah, and I think when we look at people ready to kind of break out. You know, I really want to see where Oba goes from here. You did so much with him in NXT, and he's come a long way in talking, man. You know, when he first started out.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I just don't want another bask in my glory moment where you do really good in NXT and then they don't know how to make you translate to the bigger stage.
Big difference. Back then, Vince had no fucking clue what anything was. I don't think he knew what NXT was, to be honest.
What is this garbage? I'm not paying anything for it.
Yeah, you just see the new guy show up and be like, I don't know, put a fucking put a helmet on him and you're a gladiator now.
No, you're going to call him Bear Claw. What was his name? Bear Cat?
Bear Cat. Bear Claw. Like he's a fucking donut.
It looks like he's eating a lot of
pastry. A pastry, if you will.
All right. You know, TNA has the new contract now starting this week. On AMC, the big question I have for you guys, does TNA draw a house of 10,000 this year? Go ahead, Rob.
Easily.
Yeah.
They're still riding high off this partnership with WWE. It's NXTNA. That's what I like to call it. I've always called it that. And as long as they have the WWE backing, so to speak, the rub, they will get to that 10,000 easily with just the right booking.
Okay. Steve, do you think they could do a 10,000 seater?
You know, I absolutely do. They had the one venue with the 8,400, I believe it was. So they're knocking on the door of 10,000 already. And that's with the limited TV distribution that they have had. And I say limited because it's a hassle trying to find them on TV. But thankfully, that all changes this week. And yep. I think that a lot of eyes are going to be open to TNA because, let's be real, there's a fair amount of fatigue for both of your one and two promotions in the U.S. Yep. People have gotten apathetic toward the booking in WWE, and even with AEW, people are without a doubt long-term complaining about the booking there. So yeah. Why not give a newer promotion a shot? And by newer, the ironic twist of all of it is they've been around for fucking decades at this point, but yeah. Still it could be a new promotion to somebody that had no idea.
Here's my question. Will they beat the numbers? Maybe not Dynamite, but can you see them surpassing Collision numbers?
Yes.
I think we surpass Collision numbers.
Pretty much.
Dude, thank you, guys. It's
sad because, I mean, like shows like this past week, which were pretty freaking awesome, no one watches. Yeah. It is what it is. So they can continue to try to fill that show up with great matches. But until they make people give a shit about Collision, people aren't going to tune into it. They're starting to do things like incorporating storylines that cross over onto both shows and actually making Collision seem to be worthwhile viewing. But until they commit to it, it ain't going to happen.
And that's why Deonna Purrazzo is using SNHU and doing the commercials during WWE time, because she's like, hey, just in case.
Hey, man. Guys. Hey, man. That's the reigning Ring of Honor Women's Pure Champion, Deonna Purrazzo, to you.
All right. All right. El Juggalo says JCW has a show at the Collective called Stranglemania. Great way to bring back an iconic name. Nice. So far, the only confirmation for Stranglemania is Effie. And speaking of Effie, shout out to Effie from back in 2019, I think, or 2020, somewhere around there.
He doesn't have a lollipop in there like another local wrestler.
Oh, but our boy Effie sponsored him, and great times to see Effie.
So he got to play on Simon Street.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about Simon's Street Rob. You might upset.
I heard it's less of a street and more like a highway.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
I'm not even going there, bro.
Yeah. Oh, you
made it so easy.
Yeah, look at that. Hey, speaking of Simon Street. We're going to have to get Mr. Street together with Mr. Jackson and see what happens to you.
What you're saying is I don't want to be starting something.
No.
No.
You know, actually, right now, it'd be a good time for you to just go ahead and beat it.
Oh, well, that's why I've got a great internet connection for all the wonderful programming later on that's not wrestling related.
So it's a thriller, huh? Oh boy. Hey, speaking of new television shows and networks, we're seeing, that this whole thing with Warner Brothers getting sold and everything. The question is, AEW, do they end up having to find a new TV home by the end of the year? Steve, what does it look like, do you think?
So realistically speaking, as it looks right now, I think that yes and no. And here, I know I'm sitting on the fence, but here's the thing is the distribution that they're choosing to go with is they're rolling the standard networks separate from the HBO Max component, WBD. So yeah. Realistically, WBD's sale to Netflix, if everything goes according to how many think it will, those two things will be divided. So obviously right now, AEW has the benefit of being on HBO Max. They've said that, and Tony Khan has said that they will be on HBO Max until the end of their contract. Now, what lies beyond? That's the real question. I do think that they could land on, let's say, a Paramount Plus, something of that nature. I don't think that... so in essence, Netflix is only buying HBO Max.
Right.
So they're only buying that component to Warner Brothers Discovery. And be that as it may, somebody may very well pick up that TBS and TNT, which if that's the case, it seems almost tailor-made for, you know, Paramount Plus to swoop in and take those legacy channels. And then it's almost a seamless transition at that point for AEW to stay on those TBS and TNT networks here in the States, but then just segue into being on Paramount Plus for their streaming simulcast.
So either way, they're going to end up on a station that WWE TKO has programming on, essentially.
Yeah, it's inevitable. It's sadly, yeah. It's inevitable. but yeah.
Who should Tony hire, if at all, to change his fortunes around? Who would he, if you're Tony Khan, who would you want to hire to either improve upon your branding image or change the programming to start getting in closer or better numbers? You're not going to get WWE numbers, but what would you do to try to...
An actual marketing firm.
Just
market the fucking shows, come up with lineups before the day of the show so that way people can actually buy tickets to go see who they think will be there because they have match announcements. Also, yeah. You make it a destination viewing by the people based on match announcements. Hey, I got to make sure that I can't miss this particular match.
Yeah, you also,
it all starts with that.
Yeah,
and they used to have Excalibur going crazy, rattling out the following week stuff, and now not so much.
And notice what happened to their ratings.
And also, let's be honest, Tony just this week came out on a podcast and said that he has ultimate creative control. It is him. Yes, he collaborates with people and they can bring ideas to him, but in the end, he is the end all be all. So yeah.
So he's Vince McMahon Jr.
I actually don't have too much of an issue with that necessarily, because if we look at what has been, some people will say the downside of AEW has been creative. And the years in which people point to as examples, those tend to be the years that, by his own admission, Tony allowed others in the creative business or in the creative room with him and allowed their input. If everybody is being objective, the last year of AEW programming has been considerably better from a creative perspective as to other years of AEW, and he's assumed full creative control. I think there might be some sort of a correlation there.
Well, but the problem is that the numbers aren't up. So
the numbers aren't up because you're not publishing match announcements. You're not setting shit up for future.
We were
episodes.
Having this conversation last week, though. How much can you take from Max and equate to the pie? How much of it is on a streaming platform by which there might not be a record of it compared to your traditional television, your traditional cable? And I don't know. I don't know if there's enough people that went over to Max that it's over 50%.
Yeah, the honest answer is that it doesn't matter because Tony is going to tell you that they're doing great regardless. And again, that's what the problem comes down to. It's Tony. You know, it's the marketing. Like you said, there's probably seven different people in the marketing office who don't know what each other is doing. That's, you know, we've seen this in the PR department. We've seen this in other areas. It's just, there are a lot of things that are not done and as well as it should be done. And again, delegation of power, the product itself is not the problem. The problem is that you don't know how to sell the product because he's not a promoter. He never has been. And that's as simple as it is. So,
you know, and that's the thing, you know, I could tell you as a comic, that's a problem for me is promotion. And somebody will go, I saw you on YouTube or I saw you at a show and I'm not bigger because I've got people who are passing me by and they're not as funny and fine, call me vain, but they promote like dogs. They are out on social media more than anything else.
Yeah.
And that's the same concept. I mean, when they come to Las Vegas, where they came last time, I saw Jon Moxley and Tony Storm on every billboard on Charleston. Now I'm not seeing so much and I'm still driving all around the city. There's really no indication that they're going to be there in a month. Maybe as it gets closer. But these are little things, little details here and there. It's very quiet and underwhelming. They're promoting apparatus.
Yeah. And promotion is huge. And if you looked at SmackDown a few years ago, look what was sitting in the front row. Look at this. That great promotion there when Kofi was the champion and the Vegas Bad Boys proudly.
That's Kofi. Who the hell is that? It's like
it's Kofi.
It's Kofi. It's Kofi.
I know, but he drew like gigantic pecs on him, and the face is a little off. I don't know whose face that is, but you know what it looks like? It looks like somebody did Eric Young in blackface and then gave him dreadlocks.
Oh Jesus!
Wow. Well, we know what side of you said that. Jesus, you're racist. God. It's just so wrong.
I mean, plus the hair be white now. I'm just saying.
All right. The Rumble's coming up here in just a couple weeks. All right. Surprise women's Rumble entry. Rob, who will show up as a surprise?
The Great Moolah. No,
Moolah. First yeah, off, no, that's the Great Moolah.
I know.
It's the fabulous Moolah.
Yes, exactly.
Jesus Christ. I
have Moolah like come out with fucking face paint. Somebody looks like Moolah.
I could not think of one. The only person I would like to see, but I doubt, but I'd like to see her is maybe Rosemary, because she's always entertaining, and that would be a good choice. She would do well. Crossover. Yeah, that'd be a good one, because right now I feel like the best TNA women, or Xia Li, I don't know what her, I keep forgetting her name, Yi Ming Ling Lee or whatever the heck. She's the new TNA champion. That would be a good one. It allows her to come back into the fold and maybe get her, you know, NXT bound, possibly. Those would be the two that would make sense. Either somebody just fun or somebody who has a strategic purpose to be out there.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I could easily see this happening, and I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it for other people that are maybe listening, but come on, man. There's no one else that comes to mind other than fucking Paige.
Right.
She's gonna be out. She's gonna come out there, make her little appearance. They're gonna hear her music. People are gonna go ape shit, and it's gonna be, you know, a decade to go all over again.
I'm sorry, I already forgot about her.
Yeah, well,
plus, not to mention, we could also have you know, some interesting stuff if AJ Lee is in the Rumble too.
Sure. Sure, that'd be great. I would love to see, since it's in Saudi and the fans can't chant that she's a racist, Tessa Blanchard. Bring Tessa Blanchard in for this. I want to see my girl in that match.
Oh, I wanted her to come out there with no sleeves on, you know, just half naked.
You know that can't happen, bro.
Oh man, yeah.
They'll be wearing the full Spidey suits and shit.
Yeah.
All right. So, who's then is the surprise men rumble entrant? Steve.
All right. So I think that they love to, there's one name that obviously we are all thinking, but I'm not going to mention it. So instead, yeah, exactly, Rob. So instead, I think that they've made such a big ordeal about talking about Bullet Club and referencing Bullet Club a lot here lately.
Mm.
So, and also not to mention that Fit Finley has some ties to WWE.
Right.
He also has a son who is now a free agent. And I could easily see the former leader and the final leader of Bullet Club, David Finley, debuting at the Royal Rumble. And I think that could be a very interesting kind of a thing. Obviously, go ahead. One of you guys mention the other name because I know that we're all thinking it. But yeah, I had to go for
David Finley.
Okay, I'll mention it. Khashoggi.
What? You know, we don't all, you don't, they have something, it's not, you don't have to use 56K anymore. That's, you know.
Oh, God. The best part is that his internet censored him.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to make a dark humor joke and his own internet fucking censored him. That's when you know.
Was it my internet or was it the government?
Which government?
That's a...
We'll get to that now.
It's all one. Yeah. All right. Rob, what were you going to say?
Jericho.
Okay. So, what show does Jericho debut at? Rob, you're saying the Rumble?
Yeah. Why not? That's a simple dimple. Turns around, light up jacket, countdown. Yay. Or countdown, Steve. Light up jacket, yay.
Yeah, Steve, I'm a basic bitch, so I'm saying it's the Royal Rumble.
Okay, I see.
And it also, we finally get the Chris Jericho retirement tour.
Right. So I say it's Mania.
Nice. Shows up at Mania.
Yep. And I say that right now, you can even go as far as the last match of Mania finishes. And fans are pissed because so-and-so didn't win and Travis Scott apparently showed up again and blah, 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 whatever the fucking thing is. And then all of a sudden that fucking clock hits. And the last thing you see at Mania as it goes off the air is Jericho standing there on that fucking stage looking at whoever is standing as champion.
I am good with that. I wouldn't
mind it. I would not mind it, but it's...
Keep in mind, Fozzy is on tour in Europe all of February. So if he comes back to Rumble, he's not on TV except for possibly Raw because he has Mondays off, but he has to then fly from Europe to the East Coast back to Europe.
You're great. You're great. You did the homework.
Well done.
Very good.
Khashoggi.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, man.
Why don't you write an article about it? Oh.
Because I don't want to lose my head.
It was going to be a news week.
Speaking of news, does Dominic Mysterio win the world title this year if he is back, by, let's say, SummerSlam or so?
No. Isn't he still the Intercontinental Champion? He's kind of hurt or doing whatever the hell he's doing.
Oh, I don't. He's legit it. Out. He's out for at least 6 months.
Have they selected a new IC title holder, or are they just? I mean, I don't remember anything like that. So at one point, did he vacate that? And I haven't seen anything mentioned where they're going to have a new gauntlet match, or you know, or and so I don't know what they're doing with that one. He comes back. He either goes after the title if somebody calls it out and they say, "Hey, by the way, you've got this this IC belt that needs to be vacated," and he goes right back after that. There's going to be a logjam of people that are going to want that spot. And we're assuming that CM Punk is going to be in the mix for a fairly long amount of time. So I don't see them pulling the trigger on Dominic. And you'll have a pissed off Finn Balor. I don't see a Finn Balor scenario where he lets Finn, you know, he lets, you know, Mysterio get it before him. Unless you're going to go babyface run with Dominic. And he comes back and then he goes, "Hey, you guys didn't help me." I don't know. You could even have Grandy Americano show up and say, "I want it. Yo quiero este cinturón."
Steve, does he win the championship?
As much as I would love that, I don't see it happening, largely because of his deadbeat dad ripping his shoulder out of socket deliberately in Mexico. So obviously he's sidelined, as you mentioned, for 6 months or so. So unfortunately he's missing Mania this year. I don't see them putting him into that title picture in the second half of 2026. I could easily see him winning that title, like straightforwardly winning the Rumble in 2027 and then winning that world title at Mania in 2027. But unfortunately, I don't see it happening this year because, you know, like I said, his deadbeat dad decided to rip a shoulder out of the socket. Hello.
There you go. Okay. Speaking of Mania this year, will women's match headline WrestleMania Night One, Rob?
Will the women headline? Yeah, sure. I could go for that. I could see that being a thing. They still want to. They want to push the men, the bigger male matches for the second night and build up the, you know, have that crescendo going on.
Steve, wait a minute.
It would make the most business sense for them to do that because let's be real, I don't think that they're going to main with a women's match at Mania in Saudi Arabia. Obviously, stranger things have happened, but I don't see that happening. If they're going to do it, I could see it happening in 2026. The only reason why the women didn't main event night one is because CM Punk had it hard-coded into his contract that he would have a WrestleMania main event. And that was why he was main eventing on night one.
Now, I heard that they're going to introduce a burka-on-burka mud wrestling contest where they strip off their burkas down to another burka.
It's not mud wrestling. It's sand wrestling.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Apparently there will be two humps.
Camel reference.
And a lot of camel toe.
Oh my God. Yep.
Definitely will be.
It'll be like Japan though. They'll put the fuzzy little, you know, blocker over it. They don't want the show to be indecent.
The distortion.
Yeah.
Lockers. Okay. CM Punk end up defending the title against either Cody or Roman or Randy Orton or someone else. Is CM Punk chasing the title? What happens with your new champion in Drew McIntyre? Is he even on the show? Because I guess he, you know, I guess he has to be if he's champ or whatever.
Whatever.
Drew McIntyre is the guy who has to chase. He has to chase. Somebody has to screw him, and then he has to spend the rest of 2026 trying to get it back.
So I think that Drew as a heel, I think that it could have some legs. We saw what he did in that heel role And quite frankly, doing the best character work that he's ever done. So I think that saying that Drew has to chase, yes, he has to chase if he's a babyface. I think that him holding the title, I think that it will be more entertaining than his babyface run was with the championship, which was, you know, largely forgettable reign. But the initial question about CM Punk defending the title, I don't think that he defends it against Cody. I don't think he defends it against Roman. I don't think he defends it against Randy Orton. I tell you who I think he does defend it against, and that is the winner of the 2025 Royal Rumble, Bron Breakker.
You mean the 2026?
2026 Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble,
Bron Breakker. No, man, you're having a me moment.
I'm having a Rob moment, but in any event, I could see see Braun winning the Rumble this year and going because they just obviously had that match. So WWE loves to do that where they'll have like a first major match in a series, and then just you might think it's a throwaway match, but realistically, it's smart. What they're doing is they're testing the match in front of a live audience.
Yeah,
and that's why I think that, yeah, it definitely got a loud reaction from the fans. And you had a lot of people complaining that Braun didn't win. So my view is they could easily have that happen at Mania, have Braun win the title at Mania, and then you got some very interesting things that could happen as fallout that I'm sure we'll talk about.
The one thing, can I just jump in with Monday Night Raw, of what we saw Braun Breakker do to our luchador friends, they made him so overpowered on Raw that he's able to sneak in spear after spear. I'm going, you know what, if he's that strong as you're portraying him on Monday Night Raw, he should have not had any difficulty at any point beating CM Punk. They made CM Punk look haggard out there. What I could see happening is Bron Breakker getting the opportunity to go to WrestleMania and then getting screwed over by Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins would want to be the one to take the belt off of CM Punk. And so, at the same time.
So that's the question. Does Bron Breakker screw the Vision? Does the Vision screw Bron? Is that what we're looking at?
No, he's the Vision. He's the Vision because Paul Heyman now threw all his weight behind him, and Paul Heyman already saw that he was able to easily defeat Seth Rollins. So Seth Rollins is worthless to him. He's not going to go back to Seth Rollins. What he does is he puts his weight behind Bron Breakker, music hits, fuck, I've speared CM Punk out of his boots. I've got this in the bag. 1, 2, burn it down! What the hell? Huh? What's going on? And you'll have a scenario by which the other Vision members are there. The luchadors come. You have, you know, Penta come, and all the luchadors get rid of all of the other members of Vision. Now it's just down to the last two guys. CM Punk is obviously too tired to fight off Bron Breakker, and Seth Rollins comes to get his revenge. And then, of course, then you have your simple argument. Oh, thank you for saving me. I didn't save you. I fucking hate you. And that belt belongs to me. And that guy screwed me over. I'm going to get my revenge on both of you.
Steve, why is he wrong?
So I think that we've got a pretty interesting kind of a parallel. And it's a parallel that not many people will see as being such. I think that from AEW to WWE, in both instances, you have a guy who is arguably the future of your company, and he is playing second to somebody else in a faction. And again, if people saw Collision this week, they saw that Don Callis kind of pigeonholes Kyle Fletcher into strictly going for the TNT championship, especially after Fletcher mentions that he has bigger aspirations. So that's on one side. On the WWE side, I think that you're seeing Bron Breakker will come into his own this year, to say the very, very least. I I definitely see he and Rollins feuding, whether that's him breaking out as a babyface, which, to be real, would be the smart move. Have him to out and out be a babyface. Fans want to cheer for a badass. That's just how wrestling has always been. I think that they could strap the rocket to Bron Breakker, and they could do that. And they could even facilitate the babyface turn by him essentially saying that he wants to be in that main event scene, whereas Heyman and Rollins, no, I'm going for it. I have interests, or, you know, Rollins has interests in this, blah, blah, blah. So, again, you're seeing very similar storylines that could happen in the same year involving two very different sets of circumstances between Kyle Fletcher and Bron Breakker. But that definitely something happens this year with the Vision for sure.
Yeah, I think that CM Punk loses his title at WrestleMania to Bron Breakker, not because of Seth Rollins, but because the glass breaks and everyone thinks it's going to be Austin, but out of the stands comes Jungle Boy, and Jack Perry screws CM Punk out of the title. He didn't realize Jack's contract was up.
Why does he get the Stone Cold glass shatters? Does it go? No!
The glass shatters. Think about it. What is the big thing between Punk and Jack? The glass.
Real glass.
The real glass.
I'm a dumbass.
That's why.
Forgot all about it.
Yeah. Doing the whole.
So what happens is that you have the glass shatter, and then you have a remixed version of Cry Me a River. Right. That's what would work.
Right.
Exactly. I would just like to see, you know, Jungle Boy running through the stands of WWE with a Bowie knife. I love it. I know it's probably fake. It's
Will Ospreay. Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay. Who wins the AEW championship first this year?
Will Ospreay. If he's healthy enough. Yeah. I see Ospreay winning the championship. At All In, which is going to be held in London again this year. Sure. The story writes its fucking self.
Are there going to be cardboard cutouts to fill the 40,000 seats?
Or 15,000 seats? Probably. We'll see. But the thing is, in this has always been the case. AEW has higher numbers outside of the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely.
They absolutely do. So, you know, yes, they struggle to fill a 5,000-seat venue seemingly half the time here in the U.S., but they have great TV deals in Europe. Also, they're continuing to sign new TV deals even in Asia. It wouldn't surprise me if they do fill up
Do you think they'll be able to fill up the Westchester Broadway Theater?
Maybe it depends if they make match announcements and they actually kind of set the table for who's going to be there. Then maybe if they don't, then no.
You remember you got to clear out of there on time because they have to set up for Man of La Mancha. Fucking guy does a fucking pay per view and then follows it up with a fucking dinner theater.
As long as you get Kenny Omega wrestling Ichiro Suzuki, we'll be good. It will be fine, you know. Just use those big name Japanese stars. Hideo Nomo, bring him in.
Well, don't forget Chan Ho Park.
Chan Ho Park, yeah. If we're going with Koreans,
there you go. Wait, what? Give me the fucking Seattle Mariners lineup mid-2000s. I'm going to throw you a goddamn curveball.
Will Gunther retire AJ Styles or Chris Jericho this year?
Yes, both.
Both.
No, yeah. Jericho's too much of an egomaniac to let that happen. I don't think
Yeah, I think that's Gunther's new gimmick. Realistically, you let him be
the legend killer.
The executioner. You could say legend killer. Obviously, if that happens, then you know who has to retire.
Randy Orton has to show up and stop it.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
That's a great call, Rob.
The biggest name legend who passes away this year.
I'm on Cameo and I decided to watch his cameos. Ric Flair is hanging on there. When you see him do some of these things, he is shit-faced and he is not looking too good. Hey, you paid money to see the Nature Boy.
That's a name right there, Scoop.
Steve, who do you got dying this year?
Who do I got in the pine box? Who do I got in the pine box derby this year?
Yeah.
Well,
the great Moolah.
No, because especially for my pick. Oh my God. So after seeing him at GalaxyCon in Columbus, Ohio, I don't think that Lex Luger is around for much longer.
Oh. Shit.
Now that's what you should say.
Now you get why I reacted the way that I did when I mentioned the Pine Box Derby. Because he's in a chair.
He is walking around under his own power right now. That's the videos are posting online.
Yeah, which realistically, I hope that I'm completely wrong, but yeah, he didn't look great. When I saw him, unfortunately. He, wonderful guy. Extremely happy that he's turned his life around because obviously there's been documented cases where he's been, having issues. It's not good. But hopefully he turns it around and proves me wrong.
I'll just go ahead and say J.J. Dillon, and then this way we've got three of the horsemen going, and we can do it that way. We'll be good. There we go. Okay. On that note, who is one performer that signs with TNA this year? Rob.
Go to Steven. So I got to think for a second. I had a hard time with this one.
So it's an act. It's not one performer, but it's a tag team. I see Private Party signing with TNA. There's a connection there with Matt Hardy. If you think back to AEW, Matt kind of took Zay under his wing a bit and acted as a mentor for him. I could see them, he and Jeff, being instrumental in bringing them into the fold in TNA. And I think that they could do extremely well there. They were a tag team that everybody forgets this. They held the AEW World Tag Team Championships. And they were pushed as well as could be during a downside in the tag team era. For the tag team division, I should say, but they would make a good addition to TNA's tag team division for sure.
Private okay, Party. Rob.
Taven, because he's out of AEW, he'll make his return to TNA.
I can see that,
Matt Taven.
Okay, I would say it's going to be probably someone who gets released from WWE. That seems to be a fairly decent trend. So let's give it up for Otis when he debuts in TNA.
Otis.
Well, no. When he gets released,
Put him with the elegance crew.
Right. Oh my God! I know he'll be the same thing ever. What the fuck was that segment? Oh my God. Take off your shirt. He's the one. He is the most beautiful man. It's like, what? My father saw me watching that one. He goes, what is this? I'm like, they're more theatrical on TNA than the other two.
Yes.
All right. So who is the one performer that signs with NXT then?
Leon Slater.
There you go.
I mean, that's just the, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. It makes sense.
Yep. Or we could see Private Party go there.
You could. You absolutely possibly could.
Possibly. And then the Street Profits and Private Party, we get that dream matchup we've always been wanting between adults and kids of the same tag team. There you go. All right. So who's one performer that signs with AEW?
Bailey.
Okay. I can see that.
Bailey's contract is up this year. I could easily see her going to join her best friend, especially since Mercedes said that she's taking time off from AEW. Realistically, she's going to go lose those championships at the indie promotions that she got them from. After losing those championships, I could see Bailey's contract coinciding with her return to AEW, and maybe Bailey shows up at the night where Mercedes wins the world championship, or, you know, makes it known that she's going after the world championship. One of those types of things.
Yeah, bro.
Dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. I think that we could see Fandango or Johnny, whatever the frick his other name is, JBS, go over to AEW. I think they teased that I think his contract might be coming up soon. I can see him going over to AEW and doing a real gimmicky little act, maybe showing up with the gay guy promotion there, Mansoor and Mace or Mase or whatever the fuck his name is.
Put him with MXM TV.
Oh yeah, that'd be perfect. That'd be perfect.
Right. And I think AEW is more than ready for Drew McIntyre to come over. Just go.
Okay.
Yeah. Drew Galloway. Oh, no, the return of Drew Galloway.
I'll take him. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Take him. Tony Khan,
you screwed me. You put me with Don Callis, and I haven't been seen for 7 months. 7 bloody months.
So that his return to WWE in 3 years is epic.
Damn it, to put me in a bloody ambulance match with a Puerto Rican from the Bronx.
The performer signs with WWE.
Who signs with WWE? Can we count NXT or are we taking out?
One person going to do.
Oh, yeah. I said it earlier, Joe Henry. He's coming over.
Yep. Okay. There you go. Steve?
I see a former AEW original signing with WWE because just very recently they've been linked to him and his contract is up. Quite frankly, yes, he's had gold in the trios division and a TNT champion, but I could see Powerhouse Hobbs signing with WWE. And he would, if they put the right machine with him, if they put like a Paul Heyman with him, buddy.
I would see him going in NXT first before, you know, that rush to the main roster. I would see him in NXT for at least a year.
But you know, probably, possibly. You know what? And I think the same goes with Danhausen.
That's a great call. Danhausen, absolutely.
You know, look at how many iguanas have been sold. It's like, man,
Danhausen owns his name and gimmick. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because that's very important. Because WWE
printing money over there is what would happen. Okay. So out of all wrestling, who will be the female wrestler of the year in 2026? Rob?
I'm thinking we have not seen the last of Maxine Dupri. Maxine Dupri is going to be on the rise. She's going to have that Gunther push that he had last year. That will be what she gets this year, because she's not going to give up with this one title run. She's going to have a spectacular year.
Okay, Steve.
Women's wrestler of the year, I think. Let's be real. History repeats itself, but I don't think that she has been recognized as a women's wrestler of the year, even though she should have been by this point. Io Sky. Io Sky has, there's always been somebody above her in rankings for whatever stupid reason. I think that 2026, she separates herself, and yeah, everybody knows that she's arguably one of the best in-ring talents WWE has, period. But I think that 2026 is the exclamation point.
Yeah. I think that really comes down to how far they go with the tag titles. If they give her, if she has the tag titles for more than a few months, then no. If she drops the belts and then goes on a singles run, then yes.
Yeah, interesting. So it's way up there in terms of what is about to happen with her, I think. So, all right, wrestler of the year, male. For 2026, who will it be?
Bron Breakker is going to have a really explosive year. It's going to be a lot of stories that will all revolve around him. So definitely can't wait to see what happens come WrestleMania. Well, Royal Rumble and then WrestleMania. It's all going to revolve around him in some form or fashion all year round. Gunther's going to be relegated to fucking legend killing.
Okay, Steve.
So I had mentioned that earlier on that that Will Ospreay would actually win the AEW World Championship first, but I didn't mention anything about that title reign. I don't see it necessarily being a long title reign, and I see him losing that title to the 2026 Men's Wrestler of the Year, Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that very much so. And I think you'll see that 2026 will be, I think this will be the year that something happens majorly for a guy who has been kind of looked at as do they, don't they? And I think we see Sami Zayn finally get that championship. And in itself would be worth, saying Wrestler of the Year. I mean, is it realistic? No. But, be something to see. It would be very different. And the Rumble is in Saudi. So if you have him win in Saudi, maybe we have
that. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
As much as that would make sense in the moment, long term, he gets stale very fast as the quirky underdog character. It's like you've been the quirky underdog character for fucking 10 seasons, dude. Like, win something definitive.
That would be the whole point of it.
No, I understand. I know, but then when he gets an intercontinental belt, how bored are you like a day after he wins the fucking thing? You're like, oh great, I won and I set out and I had a dream and I don't give a shit, dude. He's mid for life.
Okay, well, speaking of mid for
he's
life,
mid Cardona.
There you go, Mid Cardona, and there's a guy who might have a breakout year as well. Hey, there's a guy, LA Knight, and of course,
I hear there was a guy in that crowd that doesn't tip very well.
Yeah, no kidding. And a little Scarlet and the Bunny, hey, wild rumors is that Apparently, Cross is going to show up at the Rumble. It's a big rumor.
Both of them.
Yeah. Okay. So, hey, remember this Boulder Station days?
Hell yeah.
PJ Black there and our first Boulder Station guest, Kenny King. Kenny King.
King of the Night.
What was that?
The King of the Night.
Yeah.
Right.
Kenny King wrestling at the Luxor on January 24th, going against G Sharp for the FSW Heavyweight Championship. There we got PCO. Yep. Good old PCO, friend of the show. And Robin Katie.
Okay. Did she have the kid yet?
Yes.
Yes. Two.
Wow. Oh, two. Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yep. And you know, here's a picture of us recently from the Chris Bay show that took place back in March. But, you know, that is the recent picture, you know, going back to when this show started. Of course, there was myself.
I'm looking at the picture and all I'm thinking is, sir, I need to see your ID.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Sir, step out the car. I need to step out the vehicle.
That's a me and Steve were the original members of ICE.
Look at the two of you. You guys reek of body vests and paintball guns.
And of course, if we were the ICE members, the first person that we would be taking care of is this guy.
Oh, Jesus. I happen to know someone who has something to say about that.
I'm sure you do.
I mean, if he wants to say something, it is the 1,000th episode, and he can go ahead and say it.
I think he's got some stuff to say.
Oh, my God.
Are we not doing...
Hold on. It's muted. There we go. You got to wait for the meat to come off.
Bro, you've never sounded better.
You know, this coming from you, you know, I thought you were a patriot. The two of you, you're going to be ending up in a one-way boat, little raft. We're going to send you in a little raft all the way to Venezuela. Okay, say hello to your Consuela in Venezuela.
Okay.
Mr. Sin City and Mr. Matt Bartholomew Michaels. So terrible what these people are doing to me. Such a terrible week. Okay, I'm trying to make America wealthy again like never before by getting all of that Venezuela. By the way, no triple A in Venezuela. Did you know that? They've got no luchadors in Venezuela. I said, excuse me, I'm now the president. You're speaking to the president of Venezuela. Look it up. It's on Wikipedia. They don't lie. Okay, a lot of people are saying so. CNN is saying so. Okay. They're saying ESPN says so, okay, that I am the duly elected, four-time elected mayor and president of Venezuela, okay? Because really, when you really got to be quite honestly, the entire country of Venezuela, it's just Caracas, okay? It's just Caracas, and then there's some other people there too, but it's rapists and drug dealers and really shitty. They're not even good enough to be luchadors. I got there. They did not have enough money to sew masks together. It's just so sad. So sad. They did not have enough money for masks. But we're going to have Future Stars of Wrestling at the inaugural Trump Ballroom. It's going to be at the Trump Ballroom. We're going to have Future Stars of Wrestling there. And we're going to hang elk cords. It's just so they make it feels like, you know, feels like home for them. It's going to be a sold out crowd, 10,000 seats. Beautiful. Quite honestly, the most beautiful wrestling ring. Lots of rings, but this is a good wrestling ring. It's going to be a good wrestling ring. And I'm getting a note here that we should talk about Chevron. They're going to be Hold on, Matt. Okay, we're getting to that. He wants to talk about Chevron. We'll be doing that too. There'll be lots of time for Chevron to buy seats. We're selling box seats at the bar. Don't see real men like ballrooms. Real patriots like ballrooms. You're welcome. You're welcome. I said a lot. I said a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. Closed captioning in not Spanish, but we'll have the guy with the wavy head. Back to you, Sin City Michaels.
All right. So there we go. It has been 1,000 episodes,
you're very welcome.
It will. Let's see, 2019 to 2026. So we'll see how long it takes us to do 1,000 more.
Well, sorry, excuse me, Matt. We're going to take the money out of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and we're going to give it to you.
I think this guy would.
They held back on.
Dude,
a lot of what they could do.
Uncle Dave.
We're never gonna garner his appreciation. Of course, we appreciate everyone tuning in and stuff. For all this time, thousands upon thousands of views and listens over the years have been wonderful. The cast of people, King Lucky and Simon Street. And of course, DJ Impact, who, if it wasn't for DJ Impact, none of this would have started. Now, of course, DJ Impact.
DJ Impact in the booth, so fine. Life.
DJ Impact's raw high cowboy boots, white snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my.
Okay, so we're gonna have to say goodbye to those classic videos of DJ Impact, but it is 2026 and a new year is upon us.
I'm not gonna lie, the audio to that was a fucking vibe. That was fucking dope. That was awesome.
That was a banger right there.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ. They're gonna play that in the Fruit Loop district. You're gonna be playing that at Quads and Piranhas.
Oh jeez.
If that's not on a jukebox of Piranhas, something's wrong in this universe.
Ooh, that's one of my new goals.
Rob, realistically, I mean, that could be on a jukebox pretty much anywhere. Like, bro,
I want to now. I want to go call 91.5 and see if I can get that on the local gas station.
Yes,
I guarantee somebody will be dumb enough to play it. And then when they see the music video, they're gonna go, "What the fuck is this?" That's so good. That's so good. That's Jesus. Oh, Why even bother like trying to make music anymore as an artist? You can just do that.
Dude, we are so cooked. AI.
Oh my God.
Bro, I was at CES last week. We are so cooked.
Dude, Wally is coming. We're going to be in little shopping carts, and it's just going to be screens all around us. I fucking shit you not. I am looking right. This is my video game computer. My left is another screen so I can watch wrestling. And then to my left is a third screen so I can use Writer, because I'm not paying for fucking Microsoft Office Suite, to write down notes because I have a shitty memory. And I want to add a 40-inch TV.
Yep.
So that's the one that I have.
Yeah.
I want to get a big old OLED TV and have that swing around. It looks like the Matrix in here. It looks like I'm trying to tell fucking Neo which street to take.
Settle down, Morpheus.
Yeah, all you need is a pair of I don't know, Fiji open toed.
Yeah.
Oh, do one more. Why not?
Sandals on my feet. Open toe sandals on my feet. Impact. DJ Impact. I got PG open toe sandals on my feet. PG open toe sandals on my feet. Mm-hmm.
And sent to DJ Impact.
Even better.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
All right. I started putting the lyrics in there, and I'm like, nah, this is it. He needs to hear the greatness of the Fiji open toe singles. That's a good one. The other two annoyed the shit out of me. That one I want to send me that track. That's just fucking good. I want to go down the street and bump that shit. You're going to see a guy in a white Camaro roll, Fiji open toe sandals on my feet. And then they're going to go, oh my God, yo, who's DJ Impact? Yo, what club does he work to play at? Is he a Tao? Tell me he's a Tao. Is he a Hakusan?
Oh my God. All right. Final thoughts as we wrap up. Rob.
That song was a banger. That's my final thought. No. I've got shows coming up. And on next week, on Monday, I will be at Backstop. That's in it's going to be a 10 o'clock show. Get there at 9:30. Open doors. That is at the Backstop Bar and Tavern over in Boulder City. The following day, I will be doing a show with a fellow comedian named Reynolds. And it's going to be Storytime with Reynolds. By the way, also a huge wrestling fan. I'll have the street address for that date the 23rd is going to be a show in LA. Go check my social media for that. I'm not on that one. I'm going to be out there to support the Four Horsemen of Comedy. And big thing, and you guys are all invited, and to everyone in this Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting family, I appreciate all the opportunities that you guys have given me. I want to give back. We are going to be starting the Four Horsemen of Comedy, a comedy show on Main Street, 1227 South Main Street, the Vintage Lounge. It's Vintage Antiques, and now they have a really amazing lounge. Stay tuned for the opening act right now. We have Adam Dominguez, another wrestling fan and a massive big-time comic who is going to be our first headliner. Come and support. It is a free show to come in. If you want to do the mic, just got to grab a drink.
Hell yeah. And what was the date on that?
So that is going to be every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. So that first show will be February 4th.
Right. And Steve, what are you doing on February 4th?
Well,
I know, we know we got AEW. I know. But yeah. Every Wednesday, my show will be every Wednesday. So if you okay. can't make it to that one, every Wednesday, fucking AEW.
I know. Fucking Tony Khan.
Fucking. So what I want you guys to do is bring all of the wrestlers.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, what, it ends at 7 o'clock? Yeah, that's feasible. Oh, no.
They're
recording.
I know, it's a taping collision. Yeah. I know.
Which, I mean, you know, no one watches that show anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then Ring of Honor after that. So,
oh God,
they'll probably finish somewhere around 4 a.m.
I was going to say
Saturday night. And you know what that means? Looking at the same people you saw on Wednesday. Wow, this is one hell of a crowd. Half of them stayed this time.
Oh man. Yeah, it 1,000 episodes. I've been fortunate enough to be around for about 800 of them, give or take. I want to say thank you to you, Matt. I want to say thank you to you, Rob, as well. I also want to give a very special thank you to King Lucky, who, let's be real, if I was not extended an invitation from King Lucky, I would not be on this show right now. So for those of you that don't appreciate my opinions, you can blame him. In all seriousness, thank you for that invite, bro. I really appreciate everything. I do want to say thank you to DJ Impact. As you said, Matt, without him, none of this podcast happens. So very special thank you. And a very special thank you to Simon Street as well, especially in the formative days of the show. He was kind of the glue that kind of kept everything together through those trying times. I do have to say, in DJ Impact's absence, Matt, you have been an amazing show host.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to lie. I was unsure of how you would be able to navigate things with your your absolute disdain for three particular letters. And I know that
it's not three. It's not three letters. It's two. It's T and it's a TK. K.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were going to say, all right. Never
mind. Well, in any event, genuinely thank you for being somewhat objective from time to time, especially as of late. I think that we've come very far as a trio. I think that we've done some great things. 2026 is going to be a great year. We have a lot of things planned for 2026. We'll be rolling those things out to you over time, not all at once, because obviously we don't want to overwhelm. I do want to say thank you to each and every one of you that are listening or watching right now. Without you guys, why would we do this? Realistically speaking, yes, we have fun. We talk about pro wrestling, but honestly, I love getting in here and having a loaded chat like what we had tonight. So, you know, I want to say thank you to everybody that was in there tonight. Most notably, our boy Bionic Scoop. Also, we heard from John earlier. He's been on the show as a contributor and as a as an honorary bad boy. And then also Marty. Special thank you to him as well.
Travis.
He did some great things for us early on, and somebody who it's difficult being the AEW guy, especially when somebody works for the competition, and we butt heads from time to time over stupid things. But very special thank you to Travis as well. I have to say it. Your insight has been exemplary, and it's great to have an alternative perspective and a perspective of somebody who literally is on the inside. So thank you to everybody who has contributed to the show, who has been on the show there for a while when we did interviews. Thank you to everybody who did who took time out of their busy schedules and hung out with us. You know, whether it was Vicky Guerrero, whether it was Rob Van Dam, the list is endless. Diamond Dallas Page, all of those interviews are available. VegasBadBoys.com. Go there, check it out, and you know, see how far this show's gone from those formative years and, you know, 2019 and through the pandemic and beyond. But again, thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
Yeah. You know, Jed as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Special thank you to Jed for sure. Yeah. Most definitely.
A lot of contributions along the way, a lot of interviews out there, not only with wrestling personalities, but with other entertainment personalities as well. We've got some stuff cooking up for the new year. With that coming back, sponsorship opportunities around the corner for helping the show out to grow it a little bit will be something that will be coming up as well. Hopefully we can get, some little Malaysian kids or something to run our social media.
I heard Malaysian kids and already I got a little, I don't know. Might not be a good idea.
You have a bad experience with Malaysian kids there, Rob?
I don't know. This went and took a dark turn. Go back to, you know, singing about someone's feet.
Khashoggi.
Oh, 1,000 more episodes of that.
Some things will never change.
Like his internet connection.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, do we have any more Vince McMahon impressions in the tank?
No. I think the next thing in the tank with Vince McMahon is probably Vince McMahon.
That was Vince McMahon on Mars.
Yeah, it was.
God damn it. Don't you know who I am? I'm the genetic jackhammer. This is bullshit. I do not. Then this. Linda isn't the president yet. Get me back.
All right.
Back to Man on Mars.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right.
Robert to Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.